Hallelujah. Let's just pray together one more time. Father, we thank you for everything you've already done and yet to do in this house, Father. We thank you for your precious, precious presence, Father. We don't take it for granted. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us. You love us and you teach us and you guide us. But for above all, I just want to say thank you for who you are, our God, our Heavenly Father. And we just thank you. And I thank you for everybody in the room, everybody watching online. Thank you for what you have for us today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As you take your seat, just love on somebody. Let them know you're thankful they're here today. Hallelujah. Thankful. I'm thankful for this worship team that plows the ground. Amen. Are you thankful? Thank you. Thank you, family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Welcome to Impact Church, where it's okay to take some time and just worship. Amen. No agenda, just be in his presence, just sit. That's what he wants from us. He just wants us. He wants to commune with us, to get to know us, for us to get to know him. He just wants that relationship with you. And so my name is Pastor Olga Becker. Good morning. I have the privilege this morning of standing before you and delivering the word. My husband, Pastor Jamin Becker, is actually preaching in Chicago this morning at 10:30. And it's so cool because I was like, what time does your service start? And he said 10:30. I said, mine too. And he's ministering this morning at his parents' church in Chicago, off of Harlem. So I'm sure he'll be watching later. So just give Pastor Jamin a big hand, a shout out. We love him. We bless him. We know he's doing amazing there. And he took a couple of our family members with him. Zion went with them to play the drums, and Courtney and Dylan and Kristen are singing with him. And so they're going there to minister, and I know God's using them this morning, but God's doing something awesome here too at Impact Church. Amen. Amen. And so we are 2 weeks post Resurrection Sunday, 2 weeks post Easter. And I know there's always a big buildup, especially here at Impact. There's a big buildup for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we're 2 weeks post that. And we celebrated 2 weeks ago just the resurrection, the life, death defeated, amen, the victory, the power that comes with knowing who Jesus is, how he died for us on the cross. Perfect Lamb of God, slain, died a horrible death on the cross. And let us never take that for granted. Let us never look away or shy away or forget even like the images that we've seen, either whether it's been in movies, shows, pictures, the death that he took. He took the weight of the world, everything bad that could have ever happened to us. And I think about it like this. In this room, I don't know how many people are here. Let's say there's 200 people, 150. And each of us have experienced bad things in our lives. Each of us have experienced trauma, you know, some more than others. He experienced the weight of the world, every bad thing that could ever happen upon one person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The weight of that. And he did that for us. And that was God's plan. God's plan. He so loved the world that he gave his son. And so we are so thankful. Amen. We're thankful for the resurrection. And so we're still celebrating today. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about what happened in those days after the resurrection. Those 40 days. We know there's 40 days, there's 50 days between Easter and Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Ghost came down. But in those 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And so we're going to talk about that today. And so just come along with me. Let's have a good time this morning in his word. Amen. Amen. So we are seeing God's plan. God's plan unfold. And in the 40 days post the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples to prove to them that he's alive. He appears to them, and I was going through and I was studying, and there's eight described in the Bible. There probably was more. And but there's eight described specifically in the Bible, and there's two of them that people think that, you know, scholars always study that they could have happened at the same time. So there could have been seven, there could have been eight. But if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the beginning of Acts, you can look them all up, and we're going to go through them really quickly, just kind of like a review. We're seeing God's plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. Amen. And you're a part of that. Amen. So in the 40 days after the resurrection, but before the Holy Spirit came down, he made appearances. And so let's talk about the first one. The first one, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, Mark 16:9. Mary was weeping at the tomb. She thought she had lost Jesus forever. But Jesus appeared and brought victory over despair in that. Jesus also appeared to other women as they were leaving the tomb, Matthew 28:9-10. They thought he was dead, but he appeared to them, and they worshiped him there. And in that, we see that Jesus brought victory over death, even over death. Thirdly, Jesus met up with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. That's in Luke 24. And these men were talking about the week's events, talking about what had happened to Jesus. And they didn't understand why, what had happened. You know, they were defeated. They were walking on the cross. They basically had given up on Jesus. They probably had hope in him. And they were like, ah, oh, we thought he was the one. And Jesus stayed with them. Jesus stayed with them. He walked with them. He ate with them. He had communion with them. And Jesus brought victory over confusion. And so I just wanted to just kind of, you're seeing a pattern here. Jesus is bringing victory to his disciples. When we're confused, we need to talk to Jesus. When we're in despair, when we're downcast, when we're burdened, we need to talk to Jesus because he has what we need. There's victory in him. And there's power in fellowship with Jesus and with his people. There's a couple more appearances, but I'm going to go over to like the sixth appearance. Jesus appeared to his seven disciples, including Peter, who had denied Jesus three times. That says that he had denied him, he had turned his back on him. And in this, in John 21, if you read the story, Jesus, even though Jesus had failed, Peter had failed, he reinstated Peter back into ministry. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, and no matter what happens, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, like you're not too far that God can't use you for his glory, for his ministry. Amen. So Jesus brought victory over failure. And in the seventh appearance, Jesus appeared to his 11 disciples, and this is in Matthew 28, and this is where we're kind of going to focus on today. But he, in a prearranged location on a mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28 tells us that when Jesus told him he had been given all power and authority, and he gave his followers the great commission to make disciples. And when he declared that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him, Jesus brought victory over any other power. When he said, I have been given all authority, that's all, A-L-L, all authority, period. It is then that we know that he has brought victory over all power, all power. And so we can't miss that. That's very important, but we'll go back to that. So we see that in all these appearances, and there's a couple more, there's when Doubting Thomas, and then there's when he asked them to fish. I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. But there's more appearances, and in all of them, he gave the disciples what they needed. They needed victory in those situations, and he gave them that. Because he needed them to believe, to understand, to be whole, to not be confused, and so that they could fulfill their mission, so they could do what God's calling them to do. They were a part of the plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. Not only was he proving his resurrection in these appearances, he was resurrecting disciples. Jesus was resurrecting disciples. And some of you might be hearing this for the first time, and some of you, this is just a reminder. But God is calling us to be his disciples and to tell people, to take on the Great Commission and to tell people about Jesus. And so he's resurrecting disciples even today. And just like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus where they had given up hope and they were devastated by what had happened to Jesus, Jesus did not give up on them. Jesus did not give up on them. And aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't give up on you? I don't know about you, but I feel like Jesus, my whole life, he's pursued me. I feel like when I've gone to the wrong path, when I was younger, when I was older, like when I've fallen away, when I've been downcast. Jesus has always pursued me. He has always never let me go. Even in my darkest, deepest depression, he was there. He never let me go. And I just wanted to remind you this morning, he is pursuing you. No matter where you're at, on what road you're on, where you've been, he is pursuing you and he will not let up. Amen? Jesus can give you victory in every one of your situations today. Every one of them. And who can testify that, yes, Jesus has been there for me. He has walked alongside of me. He has not given up. Even when I doubted, he did not give up. Even when I was depressed, he did not give up. Even when I didn't believe, even when I was disappointed, even when I felt at times hopeless, he was there. He did not give up. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the Amplified Version. Eternally changeless. That means he's not going to change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he is the great commissioner, and he's still commissioning all of us today to fulfill the great mission. He has everything you need to believe, to understand, to be whole. He has everything you need to be stable-minded, to have clarity in your life, in your walk, in your situations. He has everything you need so that you can fulfill your mission here on earth. Because God has a plan. He's always had a plan, and every single one of you are a part of it. So now let's focus on the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And this is the appearance that we're going to talk about. We're just going to break it down. We're going to read it through together, and then we're going to break it down. We'll start in verse 16, Matthew 28. There we go. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And we'll come back to that. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And verse 20 says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, my favorite part, and surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? So let's just go back and just read through one more time, and I'm just going to point out a couple of things that stood out to me, and I pray some other things stand out to you as well. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. They were where they were supposed to be. That shows us that these disciples were obedient. They were where they were supposed to be. They were available. I read that from where they were to Galilee, it was a three-day walk. So they gave up the sacrifice. They took their, they gave their time. They were obedient. They were following Jesus. They were doing what he told them to do. It was a predestined location. He said, "Meet me here," and they went. They were obedient. They did what they were asked, what was asked of them. Verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Talk about doubt for a minute. Doubt. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Okay? Faith, when you have faith, it doesn't mean you're not going to doubt. Faith is not the absence of doubt. But it is that faith that's going to get you through that doubt. Amen? It's the faith that's going to help push you through. It's the faith that's going to remind you. It's the faith that you're going to push through and you're going to get through and you're going to overcome doubt. Okay? It's okay to have questions. As long as you are asking those questions of God, as long as you're seeking God with those questions, as long as you're going to him with those questions, because guess what? He has the answers, amen? He has the answers. When I'm confused, when I'm frustrated, I go to God. I open up the Bible. You can find any answer to any situation or dilemma in your life in the Bible. You just open up your word because he is the word, and he's there when you open up your Bible. You go to him, you pray, and if you don't feel strong enough, then you go to fellow brothers and sisters who are stronger than you and be like, "Hey, will you pray with me about this?" When you have doubt, it's okay to have questions, but seek God with those questions. Do not stay there. Do not let the enemy sit in that doubt. Do not let the enemy come in and get a foothold and open up a door of doubt and be like, "Well, I don't think that actually happened," or "I don't believe that God can actually heal me," or in those doubts times, do not sit there. That is a dangerous place to be. Push through with your faith. Amen. In John 20:24, when the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus, another one of the appearances that I talked about, Thomas says, unless I see for myself, unless I see the nail marks myself, then I will believe. So Jesus had appeared to the disciples, and they told Thomas about it, and Thomas was in doubt. He's like, unless I see it for myself, I will believe. And in verse 25 of John 20, Jesus gave him exactly what he needed. Let's read that together. Verse 26 says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. 27 says, then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. He declared him Lord right there. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so it is awesome to see that you can go to him. You can go to God with your doubts. He gave Thomas exactly what he needed. He said, oh, you need to see my nail marks? Here you go. Here's my nail marks. He gave Thomas exactly what he needed. And I know that we remember Thomas as, you know, doubting Thomas. We all hear that story when you grow up in Sunday school or wherever, and you always hear about doubting Thomas. And it's crazy that we remember him that way. But I did a little research, and Thomas went out to be to spread the gospel in India, and he died a martyr there. He died decapitated because he wouldn't give up the Lordship. And when he said, my Lord, my God, I believe that that was all it took. He was there, a believer for life, and there was no turning back. And when he was asked to renounce the name of Jesus, he refused to. And in India, it says that he was decapitated, and he died a martyr for his belief in Jesus. And so it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter if you doubt. It doesn't matter if you feel not as strong of a Christian or weak. It doesn't matter, because God has everything that you need. He's already placed inside of you. He's anointed you. He has called you. And I'm not saying that you're called to be a martyr, but you are called to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are called to declare the name of Jesus and not doubt and not renounce his name. Amen? Amen. So next time you hear doubting Thomas, you'll be like, well, you know. But how did he end? Amen? So it doesn't matter how you start. It does matter, but it doesn't matter how you start. Verse 18. I just want to talk one more little nugget about doubting. Your doubts don't disqualify you. And God is not distant in your doubts. And I believe that today, this is because I feel like I'm staying here for a minute and talking about doubts. I feel like this is for somebody here today. Your doubt doesn't disqualify you. And he's not far from you when you're doubting. Amen. He's right there. Sometimes I believe I'm a woman of faith. And, you know, being married to Pastor Jamin, like, you're almost forced to believe for stuff. I remember one time years ago, in the beginning of our ministry, we had this huge event. And he said, the budget is $10,000. We're having this huge egg drop. This was like when before everybody was doing the egg drops, probably about 14 years ago or so. And we're going to have like, I don't know, it's a crazy number, like 10,000 eggs. We're going to fall from a helicopter. And we were trying to hire a helicopter, but then we ended up going with a hot air balloon because the helicopter couldn't fly in the neighborhood that we were dropping them in. Anyway, we were having food and games, and we were doing these huge giveaways. He wanted to give away Xbox and TVs. He wanted to have this huge event for the community. I don't know if it was anybody here at the time, but about 14 years ago, yeah, some hands in the air. And he said, we were like trying to budget for this, and he said the budget's about $10,000. Once we added everything up, it was $10,000. And I was like, okay. I mean, we had just started. Our church was less than 100 people, and we have a $10,000 budget for one event. And, you know, the missionary in me, because I have a heart for missions, was like, you know how many people we can feed with $10,000? You know, and we're having this one event, and he was like, I believe God told me to do this. And he, you know, he stood firm, and he was just being obedient to God. And I believe it was like a week or two before the event, someone comes over our house and hands us an envelope with $10,000 cash for our event. Amen. Yeah, it was a miracle. And the majority of us who were sitting in that circle planning this event, we're like, we don't even know what $10,000 cash looks like. Let me see that. And so we're opening up the zipper pouch. It was like a bank zipper pouch. And we were looking in, and we were like, what does $10,000 cash look like? And it was just a testament to God. And so just saying, like, your faith, you're not disqualified for having your doubts. It takes big faith sometimes for what you're going through. And so I said all that to say, sometimes when I pray, you know, somebody will come to me, or I'll be talking to somebody and, hey, can I pray for you about a certain situation? Or somebody's like, hey, pray for, you know, my mother, my father is really sick, or whatever the situation is. And I believe I'm a woman of faith, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. But sometimes, once in a while, I'll be like, whoa, this is a huge prayer request. You know, things that maybe I've never prayed for or seen happen. And I take a moment, and this is what I do, and I share this with Pastor Jamie. He was like, share that with the people. I take a moment, and I don't know, like sometimes, you know, grab hands or whatever, you're about to pray, and I take a moment, and I rebuke doubt. I do. I'll be like, I rebuke doubt right now in the name of Jesus. Father, just give me clarity in the mind so I can proceed with this prayer beyond a shadow of a doubt. In faith, believing that you can do all things, because there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing too great for God, amen? And so you can do all things. Let me just encourage you with that. Take a moment sometimes before you pray, if you need to, take a moment and just rebuke that doubt in the name of Jesus and proceed with that faith, amen? All right, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in earth, on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now let's just break that down really quick. Jesus said, all authority. All authority. Basically, what he was saying was he won. He won. He is the greatest winner. He defeated the ultimate, like, level in a video game. He defeated death, okay? He won. Our whole faith is built on the fact that Jesus died and resurrected. That is the gospel. That is the good news, family. Basically, he was saying, because of my authority, I commission you to us. Full power of attorney to carry on the work that I have started. So not only has he received all authority on heaven and earth, then he commissions us, and he basically gives us power of attorney. He transfers that authority to us and said, in my name, you have authority. Does that make sense? The great commissioner is commissioning you today, and he's given you all the authority. His church, us, we are authorized to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. And in verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to quickly just throw up there the King James Version, and I love this because I did a little digging. But in the King James Version, 19 says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And first of all, the word go, it applies to all believers. All believers, there's no exclusions. He says go, and he's not asking, he's telling you. The word therefore is like a command. Therefore, go. Okay, no questions asked. We would say like period, that's it, you know. But in the King James Version, it says teach all nations, and I noticed the difference in that. And I looked up the word Greek, the Greek version of teach, and this is so cool, and I think I forgot to tell him to put it up there, but teach all nations, the word teach is translated to matheteo, keyword, I love words, but little word in there called math, matheteo. So teach all nations to become a disciple of one. It's broken down to disciple of one and obey only one God. So he's basically commanding us to go to all the nations and tell them and teach them to obey one God. And we know if we look across the world, this is not happening. Like, there are so many gods and so many people worship so many things. But he's calling us. He's commissioning us. You see the importance of this? He is teaching us to, telling us to teach people to obey one God and one God only. And so how many times do we sit in the table with other believers, people who believe in other things, and or we see, like, we have friends who are different faiths, and we can see that there's this world has looked to other gods. And in the very beginning, his plan was teach all nations about one God and obeying one God. I thought it was super cool, so I wanted to share that with you. And in verse 20, it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, everything without adding or taking away. And surely that he reassures us that we are not alone, that he is with us always. Live daily with that reassurance, family. Live daily with the assurance that he is with you. He is reassured you are not alone. In good times and bad times, he is with you. To the very end of the age, meaning this meant that sharing the gospel was to continue until Christ returns. So we can't stop. We don't stop. Amen. We keep going. We keep sharing until the end, until Jesus comes back. And so there it is. Like, his big plan is like almost like broken down in these four or five scriptures. There it is. Whether you've been saved a week, whether you've been saved years, this is our assignment, our mission. This is our purpose in life. This is our big general purpose. If you're looking for, wow, what was I created to do, God? What am I here on earth to do? This is the general, this is your big general. Sure, you have other assignments, and sure, he's called you and gifted you and talented you. But this, as Christians, this is our big assignment. This is God's big plan, his big plan, and you're a part of it. And so he's placed everything you need to accomplish this. He's already placed it within you. He's already placed it within you. You know that we can't impress. We can't impress God. We can bless him, but we can't impress him. We can't impress him. He created us. He placed all the talents and the gifts with it. He already knows how amazing you are because he created you. And I feel like that is for somebody here today. It's not about impressing God. It's not even about impressing other people. He made you amazing. He made you unique, a masterpiece. And so we're not too, sometimes we want to, because we want to impress our parents, so we project that onto God. We want to impress God, but he already knows how awesome you are. You can't impress him. You can just bless him, and he is proud of you. Amen? So I want to encourage you this morning, tell everybody about the love of Jesus. Tell everybody about this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Jesus and our Heavenly Father and how Jesus gave his life for us. I mean, if you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it to yourself? No. It would save so many people. Be Jesus. Be Jesus to people. I have this thing that I started living by a few years ago, you know, to check myself. I always say, you know, we got to check ourselves so we don't wreck ourselves, right? All my 90s people. Be Jesus. And I say to myself, I'd rather be Jesus than be right. Sometimes when you are in situations, and especially with like family members and things like that, you know what? I'd rather be Jesus to you than be right. So I'll take the L. I'd rather be Jesus. I'd rather be Jesus than get my own way. And I know in marriage, how many can attest to that? Sometimes there's compromise, right? And there's a lot, you know, we give of ourselves to our children, to our family. I'd rather be Jesus than get my own way. I'd rather be Jesus than be comfortable. That's a hard one. I'd rather be Jesus than be comfortable, than stay in my comfort zone, to stay in my box, to stay in my jammies and my comfortable house. I'd rather be Jesus than be comfortable. And so I just want to share that with you. You know, just think about areas in your life, and when you come in, when you need to check yourself, when you need to just remind yourself who you are and who God calls you to be, I'd rather be Jesus than, and you fill in the blank. Tell people about Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Be the hands and feet. Our church, I feel like it does this so beautifully. Our church is always pointing people to Christ, and our church is part of this plan, but there's so much more for us to do. And I just want to put an excitement in your spirit, family. There's so much more. And in this season, I feel like God is growing us. God is growing us personally. God is growing our congregation in your walk with God, in your reading, in your pursuit of him. We see it, and we're seeing the testimonies. And God has called Impact Church to be a part of this plan, and you individually as well. And so I don't have too much more, but in closing, I just want to share a couple of things that keep us from our purpose, that keep us from fulfilling the Great Commission. And one of those things is distractions. Amen? Distractions. People, places, things. We get so easily distracted. I feel like we live in a day and age, you know, it's 2024, and we all have smartphones, smart TVs, you know, we have different things going on at the same time. And it's so easily to get distracted. Get distracted by our wants, our desires, get distracted by people, people in our lives. And it's so important to have discernment and to stop and being like, okay, this thing that's, you know, taking my mind, my thoughts, my thing that I'm obsessing over right now, you know, and a lot of times we kid and we're like, oh, I'm so obsessed with this. And it's like, we have to like think about what we say and what we do. Distractions will keep us from fulfilling. It will put that pause, the delay, You know, a lot of times, you know, we are distracted by, you know, it's a thing now. Everybody's an influencer, right? We all influence. It's true. We all influence something in someone. And we follow influencers and we, you know, my daughter laughs at me sometimes because I'll be like, I bought this new skincare thing. I saw it on Instagram. And she was like, you're influenced, huh? You know, and we laugh about it, but we're so easily influenced, but we have to let the Bible be our daily influencer. Amen? Amen. Let's let the Bible be our daily influencer, our devotions, our Bible app. If you join the our Church Center app, we have a daily Bible reading challenge. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes it's hard to keep up with it. I'm playing catch up all the time, especially this week when I was studying for this message. I was like, I got to play catch up, you know, and go back. But it's an honor. I really count it an honor and a privilege to be able to open up my word. And we live in a country where that's free, where we're not persecuted for doing that. And so open up your Bible, open up your phone, whatever you have to do. I was sharing on there how sometimes I like to use all my senses. So I watch and I read and I listen to the Bible, sometimes all at the same time. I'll pull up a video of somebody who's teaching, you know, Acts the second chapter, and I'll have my Bible open and I'm hearing it. And so whatever you need to do to retain it, to keep it, to just absorb it, do so, because it's what feeds us. Amen. So distractions keep us, delay us. Offense. Offense is such a robbery of our destiny. It slows us down. It stops us. It detours us. When we're hurt, when we're bitter, when we're offended, whether we liked it or not, whether we, you know, wanted to be offendable or not, it detours us. It slows us down. When we're bitter, when we're just in that pain, you know, sometimes people, they go through a situation, they're so hurt and offended, and they replay in their mind, and how dare they, and how could they do that to me, and they stab me in the back, and you're replaying all those thoughts in your mind, and you're sitting there in your offense, and you're not realizing that it's making your heart bitter or protective, or, that's why I don't get close to people. I hear that all the time. People will offend you, but it's up to you how you react to it. And let's say a brother or sister in Christ sits, you know, like, hey, can we go get coffee? And I need to share something with you. And they're asking for advice. And you're sitting here in your offense. What do you think is going to come out of your mouth? What's going to come out of your heart? It detours us. It keeps us. It slows us down. And so I just want to just really encourage you, family, like, offense, forgive and let go. Forgive and let go. Amen. Learn from it. Absolutely learn from it. But forgive and let go and keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. And that's one thing that we always have to do. Like, I'm going to do this so I can keep my heart pure. That's something that we always talk about in our family. And Pastor Jamie and I were like, we're keeping our hearts pure. Okay, they did this or they said this or this happened. You know what? I'm going to keep my heart pure. Because that's what's most important to me, is keeping my heart pure for Jesus. Amen. And then quickly, pride. Pride. Pride keeps us, right? And sometimes we don't want to call it pride. You know, we call it our feelings. We call it, you know, I need to do me, I need to take care of me. Anytime you put yourself above God, that's pride. That's pride. I don't care how you want to say it or defend it or justify it, it's pride. Pride. If you put yourself above God, it's pride. It's pride. And pride is the root of doubt, of fears, of offenses, of distractions. Pride is the root of all these issue situations. Pride will keep you from your breakthrough. Pride will keep you from God. Because again, when you are in hurt, let's say you're bitter or you're offended or you're scared, and you're basically saying, I'm above God. God can't heal this. God can't fix this. God can't help me here. And so pride will keep you from God, from your breakthrough. Pride will keep you from taking that next step. Pride will keep you from speaking up. Pride will keep you from, I don't want to be embarrassed, so I'm not going to say anything. That's pride. That's pride. And I feel like people think that pride is looks like just a certain, like, bad, prideful, like, what's the word, like a too good for you person. No, those little things, those little seeds are pride in your heart that keep you from taking those steps, that keep you from fully surrendering to God. And be like, you know what, I don't care what I look like. I'm just going to surrender all, and I'm going to speak God's word. I'm going to ask for forgiveness, even if it wasn't my fault. You know, I'm going to be the peacemaker, even if, you know, I'm not, it's the 100th time, but I'm going to say, I'm sorry. Those things, those little things, it's pride. And the answer to everything is humility. Everybody say humility. Humility will solve so many problems in your life. Humility will solve so many problems in your life. John 3:30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And we live in a generation where it's always like me, me, me. You know, we live in this self-help and self-time, and it's okay like to love on yourself and go get a massage and quiet time. I'm not speaking against that, but he must increase, but I must decrease. We have to live with that mentality. Stay humble, stay small, because God will humble you otherwise. God will humble you otherwise. And just don't just have like a humbling moment like, oh man, I sucked, I'm humble now. No, be consistent in your humility. Be consistent. We have humble moments, let's just be real. Sometimes we have those humble moments where we're like, oh man, I messed up, like I come before the Lord, but then we do it again, or you know, we don't stay there. Stay humble. Stay humble, stay small. And I don't mean like diminish yourself, because like I said earlier, you're amazing. But just stay low so that God could use you, so he exalts you. God will exalt the humble. Just a few more nuggets and I promise you I'm almost done. Stay humble, every day, consistent. And a great example of this is Pastor Jamin. Pastor Jamin's been pastoring here for 15 years. We've impacted, I think we're in our 15th year. But he's been a minister of the gospel, an ordained minister of the gospel for 25 years. And we just, it has hit us like a couple weeks ago, we're like talking about how this April, this month, is 25 years for him pastoring and ministering. And we're like, do you want a party? Should we throw like a banquet, a dinner? And he was like, oh no. You know, and but that's his MO. He's humble. If you know him and his heart, I mean, he's up here, he's having a good time, and some people sometimes, you know, they don't know his heart, they don't know him yet, they're like, who's this loud preacher, you know, tells it like it is, but he's humble, and I'm his wife, I've lived with him for almost 23 years, he's true, he's genuine, he humbles himself before the Lord all the time. You can catch him before he preaches backstage, here on the front row, on his knees, he's always praying for you all, praying for the church, praying for himself. He is a true example of humility and consistency with that. And so if you need to look on anybody else besides Jesus, look on your pastor. He's amazing. And sometimes he needs a reminder. And ever since I've known him, since he was a teenager, he's always prayed that, like, that I may decrease, that God will increase. That's always been, amen. His brother, yep, it's always been his prayer. He wants to decrease. He's like, I want people to see Jesus. I want people to see Jamin. And so I just want to encourage you with that, like, live that way. Just always have that prayer, like, I want to decrease, Lord, and you must increase. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Submit daily. Offer your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit to God every day. Let that be your morning prayer. Father, I offer my heart, my mind, my spirit, my soul to you as a living sacrifice this day. That is your true worship. Earlier when we were worshiping and just having that time in God's presence, that's what we were created to do, to worship. And when we stand in worship and we say, raise your hands, or you just naturally, like your hands go up, that's you surrendering and submitting to God. And if you see this, we're mirroring what he did. He was the greatest sacrifice. He died a perfect, blameless, it says, the Lamb of God. Now picture a lamb, a beautiful, white, the cutest animal probably ever. A lamb, the Lamb of God was slain for us. He died a crucifixion, crucified death. And I think about my Lord and Savior, and I say, oh, you were perfect, you were blameless. I'm far from that. You were perfect, you were blameless. He is beautiful, and he died for us. And that's what we're mirroring. It says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. We're doing what Jesus did for us. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. It's a beautiful process. It's a beautiful process to surrender. It's a beautiful process when your flesh and everything begins to die and you let God just breathe into you new life. And that's who we are. When we come to know Christ, he makes us new again, right? All the old has passed away and you could be new. So to this morning, you can have, or almost this afternoon, you can have a clean slate today. Whether you're like, you came here for the first time or you've been here for years, you can have a clean slate. And you can let everything die, all the areas of your life that you haven't yet surrendered, and you can let him breathe new life into you. It's a beautiful process. Live with the he must increase, I must increase mentality. And then the last scripture I'm sharing with you is Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work. Whatever he began, his plan, he loved the world and he gave his son. That continues in us, because now it's our job to tell the world what he did for us. And that's the big plan. And you're a part of it. Well, you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so this morning, my prayer for you is A, that we reset, we reform, we improve our spirit, our mind, our soul, that in this season, on this day, April 14th, that we came and that we leave changed different, that we leave better than we came, because we're here, surrender, because God has placed so awesome things inside of you. He has placed everything you need to fulfill this calling, this purpose. He's already placed it within you. And so the great commissioner is commissioning you this morning. Will you take up the challenge? Will you be my disciple? Will you tell people about Jesus? Will you tell them? Will you take up the Great Commission? I wouldn't even say it's a challenge. It's like he just gave it to us. And we're to take that and be like, yes, Lord, yes. So is your answer yes this morning? So I want to pray first, if you want to give your life to Christ, if you're not sure that you are saved, that you want to just resurrender or surrender for the first time your life to Christ, let's just pray. I'm just going to ask everybody in the room to pray this. And it's a simple prayer. And all we're doing is we're applying faith. We're saying, yes, Lord, I believe you died on the cross. And it's just your faith. So let's pray together. Let's just ask everybody. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross for me. And I believe the good news that he defeated death and he rose again in victory. So I ask you, Father, to come into my life and make me new again. Save me from eternal death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you prayed that for the first time or 100th time, God bless you. That's what he wants. And then I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up to your feet. And I just want to pray over us, myself included, that we take this great commission, that we fulfill a calling, that we leave here the four walls of this church, not only fed and excited and filled up with his presence, but that we take that with us, that we fulfill what the plan that he has, the big plan of this whole world. You're a part of it, and I want that perspective, I want that revelation to set in, because if we know that God is, surely I'm always with you, if we live with that revelation, won't we live differently? Won't we treat people a little differently? Won't we act a little differently? We walk around with your assurance that he is with you always, that he has called you, that he has purposed you for a plan. And so let's just pray, and then when we're done praying, we're going to dismiss. But if you need prayer, I'm going to also ask our ministers, our prayer team to come down. And we want to touch and agree with you. But let me just pray right now, a final prayer, a blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you because you are the word. And my prayer this morning was not that I would just deliver a word, but that he who is the word would meet us here today. And Father, I thank you for your revelation. I thank you for your word, for the instruction that you give us, Father. I thank you that you are stirring up within us. Holy Spirit, you're drawing us to say yes. So this morning we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes. We surrender yes to your mission on our life. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your plan, Father. This morning we just say, Father, we are sorry and we put the past behind us, but going forward today we say yes, Lord. And we ask that you use our mouth to speak your word. We use our mouth to spread the gospel, the good news of your resurrection, Father. Use our hands, use our feet, use our resources to love, to encourage, to help, to point people to you, Jesus. Father, I stand here surrendered to you, Father. Just use me in every which way. Let that be your prayer this morning, church. Just ask them to use you in every way. Let every word that comes out of your mouth, every direction, wherever you go, I pray that every room that you step in, that you walk out, you left it better, that every thing you put your hands to do, he will bless for his glory in Jesus' name. I pray that every person you come in contact with, they know, they see, they ask, like, what is that within you? Why are you different? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's beautiful Jesus. And so I pray this morning, church, that you leave here empowered today, that you leave here fulfilled and reassured that you have a plan, a purpose, and there's no reason to delay. We can't stop. We won't stop. We have to keep teaching people about obeying that one God that loved us so much, that he gave his son for us. He loved us so much that he gave his son for us. And those of you who are parents in the room, to sacrifice your child, your only son, to sacrifice your child, your daughter, your son, let that sit in perspective. I'm a mama of four. To sacrifice one of my kids, he wants all of you. He wants all of you. And he has purposed and planned you. We thank you, Father. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.